to the extent that its citizens play a meaningful role in managing public affairs. Democracy is located within the capitalist economic system, infamous for producing colossal inequality. There's no level playing field as great income and wealth translate into political power for the haves at the expense of the have-nots. We have procedural democracy, elections, broadcast debates, primaries, etc. Citizens are largely marginalized, overwhelmed by big money and powerful lobbies. Look at the widespread demand to ban assault weapons of war, or for universal single-payer health care, or protecting the environment, or affordable housing. People want those things, but elites have a simple message. Vote, then go home, and leave everything to us. Actual democracy is hollowed out. A Davos-type class rules. Our guest today is Michael Parenti. Michael Parenti was a leading independent political analyst, scholar, and author. Cornel West called him a towering prophetic voice. He taught at major colleges and universities in the United States and abroad. He's the author of numerous books, including Democracy for the Few.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
You would both have us talk about respect for your mission and your agents, but your agencies are unaccountable, paramilitary forces, and I have just as much respect for you as I do for the last white men who put on masks to terrorize communities of color. I have no respect for the inheritors of the Klanhood and the slave patrol. Those activities were immoral then and criminal, and so are yours.
Democratic lawmakers grill top immigration officials at a House hearing following the fatal shootings of Renee Good and Alex Preti by federal agents in Minneapolis. We'll speak to Chicago Congresswoman Delia Ramirez and Al Green of Texas. We'll also talk to Congressman Green about Black History Month and President Trump's refusal to apologize after posting a racist video depicting the Obamas as apes.
Mr. President, this is one more reason why, when I go back to Congress, I'm going to bring another set of articles of impeachment against you for your racist attitude that you exhibit against people of color in this country.
Plus, we speak to the head of the Union of Concerned Scientists about the Trump administration's moves to gut U.S. climate regulations. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. On Capitol Hill, the heads of three federal immigration agencies all defended the Trump administration's mass deportation campaign. Todd Lyons, the acting head of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Rodney Scott, the commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, and Joseph Edlow, the director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, testified before the House Homeland Security Committee on Tuesday. They refused to comment on the killings of Renee Good and Alex Preti by federal immigration agents. Lyons, the acting ICE director, mentioned his agency would maintain an active presence during the World Cup this summer. Lyons was also questioned about whether ICE is surveilling protesters, as multiple outlets have reported. He denied the agency's compiling a database tracking U.S. citizens.
One of your officers in Maine said to one of the individuals protesting, "We're going to put your face in a little database." What does that mean? Do you have a little database of Americans?
No, sir, we don't.
Then what do you think your ICE agent was doing to this individual when he said those statements?
I can't speak for that individual, sir, but I can assure you there is no database that's tracking United States citizens.
Meanwhile, Democratic lawmakers are continuing to withhold funding for DHS, threatening a partial government shutdown starting Saturday, unless Republicans agree to their demands to rein in federal immigration agents by requiring judicial warrants, better identification of DHS officers, new use of force standards, and a stop to racial profiling. In more immigration news, an immigrant family filed a lawsuit earlier this month saying their 18-month-old toddler was returned to the ICE jail in Dilley, Texas, amidst a measles outbreak and denied medication after she was hospitalized with a life-threatening respiratory illness. The girl is identified as Amalia in the lawsuit. The girl and her two parents have since been released from ICE custody. Meanwhile, a federal class action lawsuit by the ACLU and three Latino families alleges law enforcement used aggressive tactics and unjustly detained hundreds of people, including children, during an immigration raid in Wilder, Idaho, last October. The day of the raid, more than 200 federal, state, and local law enforcement officers descended on a popular horse racing venue with armored trucks and helicopters detaining approximately 400 people, including U.S. citizens and children, some as young as 3 years old, according to the ACLU. People describe being shoved by agents, dragged out of their cars with flashbang grenades, shot with rubber bullets, while parents and children were zip-tied at gunpoint and detained for several hours. Democratic Congressmember Ro Khanna has accused the Justice Department of improperly redacting the names of wealthy men with ties to the late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. On Tuesday, Khanna took to the floor of the House and revealed the names of six men, including billionaire Leslie Wexner, the former CEO of Victoria's Secret.
Salvatore Navora, Zorab Michalads, Leopig Leonor, Nicola Caputa, Sultan Ahmed bin Suliam, CEO of Dubai Ports World, and billionaire businessman Leslie Wexner, who was labeled as a co-conspirator by the FBI.
It comes amidst new revelations about Trump's knowledge of Epstein's crimes. According to a 2019 FBI interview contained in the Epstein files, the former Palm Beach police chief, Michael Reeder, said Trump called him back in 2006, just as Epstein's criminal sex charges were becoming public, to say, quote, "Thank goodness you're stopping him. Everyone has known he's been doing this," unquote. Trump also said Epstein's accomplice, Ghislaine Maxwell, was, quote, "evil," and to focus on her, unquote. That contradicts Trump's own statements after Epstein's arrest in July 2019, saying, quote, "I had no idea," when asked about Epstein's abuse of teen girls. Meanwhile, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick's name has appeared in more than 250 documents in the Epstein files, which include details about how Lutnick arranged for his nanny to meet with Epstein and had her resume sent to him in 2013. In 2008, Epstein was convicted in Florida of soliciting prostitution from a minor. Lutnick is now facing bipartisan calls to resign from his position. On Tuesday, he testified in a Senate hearing that he and his family traveled to Epstein's private island.
I did have lunch with him as I was on a boat going across on a family vacation. My wife was with me, as were my four children and nannies. I had another couple with, they were there as well with their children, and we had lunch on the island.
That was Lutnick's admission about visiting Epstein's island in 2012. But a year ago, Lutnick told a very different story, saying his last meeting with Epstein was in 2005, when after moving next door to Epstein, he visited his house and saw a massage table in the living room. Lutnick then says Epstein got weirdly close to him and said he got a massage every day and, quote, "got the right kind of massage," unquote. Lutnick then said this in his podcast.
And we left. And in the 6 or 8 steps it takes to get from his house to my house, my wife and I decided that I will never be in the room with that disgusting person ever again. So I was never in the room with him socially, for business, or for even philanthropy. If that guy was there, I wasn't going because he's gross.
Again, his island visit with Epstein was something like 7 years later. In its latest attack against LGBTQ plus people, the Trump administration has removed a pride flag from the historic Stonewall National Monument here in New York City. Stonewall became the first national monument to LGBTQ plus rights following the 1969 Stonewall Rebellion. This is a resident who lives across the street from the Stonewall Monument.
It meant that there was pride in the fight for equal rights. And, you know, I'm going to cry. But anybody's civil rights are impinged on, and that means anybody else's can be. So that, you know, that is a measure of our safety just smuggled away in the middle of the night or whenever it was that they did it. Very, very depressing and sad.
The Trump administration plans to cut $600 million in public health funds from four Democratic-led states. The proposed cuts will impact California, Minnesota, Illinois, and Colorado, and slash grants to state and local public health departments. The Health and Human Services Department, which is led by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., reportedly claimed the grants managed by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention were being terminated because they didn't reflect the agency's priorities. Many of the funds that'll be slashed sustained health programs for transgender and LGBTQ plus people and children, as well as Black women. President Trump's meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House today as the U.S. continues to threaten Iran. On Tuesday, Trump said he could send another aircraft carrier to strike Iran if negotiations over the country's nuclear program fail. Trump told Axios, quote, either we'll make a deal or we'll have to do something very tough like last time, unquote. The U.S. and Iran held talks Friday in Oman for the first time since the 12-day war back in June last year. Negotiations are set to continue, but a date and location hasn't been confirmed yet. This is Ali Larijani, a top advisor to Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei.
From the beginning, we believe that war does not resolve matters between the two countries, and the regional disputes between Iran and the West must be resolved through dialogue. It is a mistake on the part of others to believe that they could resolve issues through the language of force.
The Wall Street Journal is reporting the Pentagon will send 200 U.S. troops to Nigeria to train Nigeria's military to fight Islamist militants. It comes after President Trump repeatedly accused Nigeria of failing to protect Christians from terrorist attacks, despite the fact that both Muslims and Christians have been killed in indiscriminate attacks by armed groups. Back in December, the U.S. launched airstrikes claiming to target the Islamic State in northwestern Nigeria. In Sudan, the UN Children's Fund has warned more than half of all children in parts of North Darfur are acutely malnourished, with two more areas in the region experiencing famine levels of hunger. This is UNICEF spokesperson Ricardo Pires.
Famine thresholds for malnutrition have been surpassed in Umbaru and Kernoi, locations that weren't previously considered at risk. Extreme hunger and malnutrition come for children first, the youngest, the smallest, the most vulnerable. And in Sudan, it's spreading. These are children between 6 months and 5 years old, and they are running out of time.
According to recent UN data, over 30 million people out of Sudan's population, nearly 47 million, are in need of urgent humanitarian assistance. This comes as Reuters reports United Arab Emirates allegedly funded a campaign in Ethiopia to train fighters of the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces. The UAE has repeatedly denied involvement in Sudan's war. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, has halted all flights to and from El Paso International Airport for 10 days, citing, quote, special security reasons, unquote. Texas State Representative Vincent Perez of El Paso told the New York Times, quote, I have never heard of an American airspace being shut down for 10 days absent a major emergency, unquote. El Paso is the second most populous city in the U.S. near the border with Mexico. In Canada, at least 9 people were killed and other over 24 injured in a mass shooting in a small town in northeastern British Columbia. 6 people were found dead in Tumbler Ridge Secondary School, while another died on the way to the hospital. 2 others were found dead at a local residence, with police saying the incidents are likely connected. The suspected shooter reportedly also died of what appeared to be a self-inflicted injury. Darryl Krakowka, mayor of Tumbler Ridge, where the shooting took place, told the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, quote, I will know every victim. I've been here 19 years and we're a small community. I don't call them residents. I call them family, he said. The FBI raid on the Fulton County election office in Georgia last month was based on debunked claims from election deniers, according to a search warrant affidavit unsealed on Tuesday. The raid came after a referral from Kurt Olson, a lawyer who tried to overturn the 2020 election. One of the debunked claims listed in the affidavit comes from a so-called citizen researcher named Joe Rossi, who claimed the number of ballot images for Fulton County did not match the total number of ballots cast. But the state of Georgia did a machine and hand recount of the ballots and confirmed the tally. David Becker, the executive director of the Center for Election Innovation Research, said, quote, how an agent could sign off on an affidavit and a magistrate sign off on a warrant that confirms there's no evidence of intent to commit a federal crime is hard to fathom, he said. A federal grand jury on Tuesday declined to indict 6 Democratic lawmakers who were targeted by the Trump administration after they appeared in a 90-second video urging service members to refuse unlawful orders. The 6 Democrats are Congressmembers Jason Crow of Colorado, Maggie Goodlander, and Chris DeLuzio of New Hampshire, and Chrissy Houlihan of Pennsylvania, as well as Senators Mark Kelly of Arizona and Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan. At the time, President Trump called for the execution of the Democratic lawmakers in the video. And in New Jersey, Ana Lilia Mejia, who helped run Senator Bernie Sanders' second presidential campaign, won the Democratic primary to fill the House seat left vacant by New Jersey Governor Mikey Sherrill. Mejia defeated former Democratic Congressmember Tom Malinowski. In the primary, Mejia was the only candidate to say she believed Israel committed genocide in Gaza. She has also called for abolishing ICE. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Coming up, Democratic lawmakers grill top immigration officials at a White House hearing. We'll speak to 2 of them, Congressmembers Delia Ramirez of Illinois and Al Green of Texas. Stay with us.
Now you might have heard different, but I know it's a fact that Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and the Apostle Paul were black. The 10 letters I'm writing, each one reads the same. 9 circles I'm drawing, 1 around your name. Land and freedom, steel and faith, tooth and bone and wire, and skin, scar, dirt and fire. Woo, woo, woo! Mic check.
Tom Morello performing Flesh Shapes the Day at Democracy Now!'s 20th anniversary in 2016. On Monday, February 23rd, Democracy Now! Will be celebrating our 30th anniversary at Riverside Church here in New York City. Guests will include Angela Davis, Naomi Klein, Maria Ressa, Michael Stipe, Wynton Marsalis, Masaba Butoha, V, Hooray for the Riff Raff, and more. Go to democracynow.org for more information and tickets. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. On Capitol Hill, the heads of ICE, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, and U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services testified Tuesday before the House Homeland Security Committee. House Democrats repeatedly grilled them over the recent killings of Renee Good and Alex Preti in Minneapolis, as well as President Trump's overall mass deportation campaign and the violent tactics used by federal agents across the country. The hearing came as Democratic lawmakers continue to oppose new funding for the Department of of Homeland Security unless Republicans agree to their demands to rein in federal immigration agents. This could lead to another partial government shutdown. This is Democrat Sri Thanadar of Michigan questioning the immigration officials.
The ICU nurse, Alex Freddy, deserved to die.
I cannot comment on an ongoing investigation, sir.
Did Renee Good deserve to die?
Sir, I can't comment on ongoing investigations.
Dirt Lines, do you agree with Secretary Noem and Vice President Vance's characterization of Renee Good as a domestic terrorist?
Sir, I can't speak to their comments, as that they are their own, but as an ongoing investigation, I can't speak to that.
Director Lyons, what did your agents mean when he said, you raise your voice, I erase your voice, in the video just that we have seen, all of us have seen?
Sir, I'm not aware of that video that you have, sir. I can't comment on what that officer has said.
During Tuesday's House hearing, Texas Democrat Al Green called for Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem to be prosecuted.
The secretary should be investigated right along with those officers who are out there engaged in this ungodly conduct. She should be investigated. And in my opinion, based upon my observation, secretary should not only be investigated, the secretary should be prosecuted right along with those officers. This man did not brandish. This man was not armed. This man did not attempt to hurt those officers. They should all be prosecuted. And you persons associated with the Trump
gentleman's time
say lock her up. I say lock her up.
Texas Congressman Al Green will join us in a moment, along with Democrat Delia Ramirez of Illinois. But first, this is an excerpt of her remarks at Tuesday's hearing.
Mr. Lyons, I want to start with you. And I want to talk about ICE. Because under your leadership, ICE has shot and killed Silverio Villegas Gonzalez and Renee Good, violated nearly 100 court orders in January alone. You've used banned chokeholds in more than 40 cases, engaged in warrantless arrests despite of a consent decree, and you used children as bait to put 3,800 children in detention. You created traps for people at immigration court who were following the law and doing it the legal way. And you broke the law by entering to people's homes without a judicial warrant in violation of the Fourth Amendment. Now, let's talk about you, Mr. Scott, and CBP next. Under your leadership, CBP has attempted to execute Marimar Martinez, shooting her 5 times and not releasing the footage that you should release so that we can see the evidence, murdered Alex Preddy, used chemical agents dozens of times in Chicago after a judge ordered you to stop, conducted warrantless surveillance and racial profiling, and acted with total disrespect and disregard for the law while engaging in roving patrols, plate switching, dangerous traffic maneuvers, and observer intimidation. Again, criminals act with that total disregard for the law, and we continue to see it. You would both have us talk about respect for your mission and your agents. But your agencies are unaccountable, paramilitary forces, and I have just as much respect for you as I do for the last white men who put on masks to terrorize communities of color. I have no respect for the inheritors of the Klanhood and the slave patrol. Those activities were immoral then and criminal, and so are yours.
That was Democratic Congresswoman Delia Ramirez of Illinois. She's joining us now from Capitol Hill, along with Texas Congressman Al Green. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! Congressmember Ramirez, let's begin with you. The information that you were able to gather yesterday by speaking with the heads of the three major immigration agencies, you began by talking with Lyons or questioning him, the head of ICE right now.
Yeah, I mean, let's be frank. We had the three of them come before us a couple of minutes later, called into break because I think the administration probably felt that they were being too honest, perhaps in some cases, when they were saying that they had to respect maybe court orders or, you know, when Eric Swalwell asked the questions about how many people under Amazon have been killed, and they kept saying no, as referencing to Todd Lyons and the fact that he has talked about people being seen as shipments in an Amazon package. Look, the point is this. I looked at Evo in the eye. These three directors are responsible for what we are seeing around the country, whether it's in detention, whether it's in the streets, or even in the courts. Mr. Erlo, who is responsible to help navigate the immigration system, is weaponizing this agency to ensure that children are being arrested and put in these cages. What we saw were three people who have certainly, with the understanding of what they're doing, chosen to violate law, to operate unconstitutionally, to harm people, and to think that they can get away with it. It's why it was so important for us to put on the record every single thing that has happened under each of these three agencies. And it's why I continue to say, I'm not going to talk about reforming DHS, and I said it to their face. It must be dismantled, and ICE has to be abolished. It's the only way forward.
What do you make of the acting ICE director, Todd Lyons, declaring we're only getting started?
That was a warning. It was a warning to the American people that they're not going to stop, that they believe that they have full impunity to continue to operate as thugs, as Klansmen, and continue to harm the people. They believe that it doesn't matter if it's you're an immigrant or you are an observer, that they have the full authority to keep harming people, and they think they're going to get away with it. Which is why, Amy, it was really important for me at the end of my remarks to remind them they will not always be in power. There will be a day of accountability, and I will do everything in my power for us to get to that place. I guarantee it.
Senator Chris Murphy warns that without reform, people are going to get killed. I wanted to ask you, given that ICE already has access to $75 billion, does a shutdown actually stop the violent operations being conducted by DHS? Friday the 13th, this Friday, is the end of the authorization for more money for DHS. Is that right? And what do you say to Democrats who are joining with the Republicans and saying continue the funding?
Well, look, let's be very clear. People are already dying right now. And they're not just dying in tier cities. They're not just being dragged out of their cars, pregnant women. They're not just tear gassing 1-year-old children. They're also killing people, letting people die in detention. That's already happening. So I think it's very important for us to be very clear that this is a moment for Democrats to demonstrate that they're going to use every single tool at our disposal and leverage. And I'm going to tell you, Amy, the best way we stop this is shutting it down. Let it shut down on Friday. Let Republicans have to meet with us. Require them to come to the table, because we should not just be talking about the $11 billion. We should be talking about every single dollar that this agency has been using to execute people, to harm people, and to send people to places like Salvador and CECOP. This is a moment for us to use it, and I'm going to keep saying, shut it down, shut it down, shut it down.
So you're not just saying shut ICE down, you're saying shut the Department of Homeland Security down.
Shut the entire operation down. That's exactly right. Let's be very clear. And for those of you that are worried about FEMA, for those of you that are worried about Coast Guard, under Kristi Noem, these agencies have already seen cuts to their funding. Many of them are not seeing the grants allowed to go into many of these cities that desperately need it because of weather, natural disaster. They're already taking their money. It's not like giving them more money is actually going to go to FEMA and Coast Guard. We need to shut it down, and then I think it's going to force them to come to the table and have a serious conversation with us about how we actually move forward without the killings, without the terrorizing, without the detaining of children. I have a 14-year-old eighth grader at the same detention center where there was a measles outbreak. Enough is enough. Democrats have a leverage. Shame on us if we continue to fail.
This is your colleague, Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell of California, also questioning the acting ICE director, Todd Lyons.
couple nights ago, I met with a woman who works as a cashier at a grocery store, and I told her I was coming to see you, Mr. Lyons, and she said, will you ask him, and she didn't want to give her name. She was terrified to give her name, but she said, when I get off my shift around midnight and I walk through the parking lot to my car, she said, if somebody rolls up in an unidentified van and gets out wearing all black and their face is covered and they don't have any identification and they ask me to get into the van, how do I know who they are? How does she know, Mr. Lyons? How does she know if they're an ICE agent or bad guys?
Sir, ICE agents have identifiable placards on their uniforms as well as their badges representative, but you won't see ICE agents rolling through the parking lots and just snatching someone up. ICE does intelligence-driven targeted enforcement operations.
Well, Mr. Homan and others have said that they target individuals based on the color of their skin and the accents that they speak, and that's why people are running through the fields and factories where they work.
And this is Democratic Congressman Lou Correa, also of California, questioning acting ICE head Todd Lyons.
Are you surveilling U.S. citizens today?
No, sir.
Those people protesting, practicing this First Amendment right, photos of them, data taken, they're not being placed in any kind of a database?
There is no database for protesters, sir.
One of your officers in Maine said to one of the individuals protesting, we're going to put your face in a little database. What does that mean? Do you have a little database of Americans?
No, sir, we don't.
Then what do you think your ICE agent was doing to this individual when he said those statements?
I can't speak for that individual, sir, but I can assure you there is no database that's tracking United States citizens.
Acting ICE director. Congressmember Al Green, I want to turn to you, both you as well as Delia Ramirez. Well, Delia Ramirez has called for the impeachment of Kristi Noem, the Homeland Security Secretary. You said she should be impeached and prosecuted. Why?
Impeachment is not enough. She's a part of a crime. She's a part of a cover-up. She knows that a felony was committed. She has tried her best to pin this rap on the person who was murdered. I think that we cannot settle for impeachment. I'm going to vote for it. But I think she needs to be locked up. She should be prosecuted. Those officers should be prosecuted. This man was shot in the back. He was shot 9 to 10 times, depending on who's counting. This is unacceptable behavior. But more than this, it's criminal behavior. We don't allow this. The president is grooming us. He's conditioning us. He wants us to be ready for when he's to make his departure. And we are now being groomed to accept it and understand that this police force that he now has total control of, a secret police, they wear masks, they don't identify themselves, they pick people up off the street and whisk them away to distant places without letting family, friends, and others know where they are. This is not the kind of America we want to live in, but this is the kind of America we're already in too. This is more than authoritarianism. This is a de facto dictatorship.
Congressmember Al Green, you are from Texas. Texas is where there are ICE jails that house children, that house adults, where there's a measles outbreak. What are you calling for?
I'm calling for ICE to cease and desist. And that's just a kind way of saying, don't do these dastardly deeds. Don't have children, babies. Don't have these babies taken into custody. You said you were going to get to deal with the worst of the worst. Are children the worst of the worst? Do you really mean it when you say that you're going to have this secret list of people? Are you surveilling people in this country, as one of my colleagues asked? This is unacceptable. What's happening in Texas is unacceptable. But it's happening across the country now. It's not just Texas. We were looking at Minneapolis. That's the long way from Texas, and two people died there. We have an opportunity now. We the people have to stand up. Peaceful protest is the way to deal with this kind of behavior. And I say peaceful protest because if you do something other than peaceful, then that other thing becomes the news. Let's have peaceful protest. Let's make sure that we tell people that we the people will have the last word. We won't allow Donald Trump to take over the White House, dismantle it, rebuild it. This is the people's house. You can't do that. He doesn't have that kind of authority. We shouldn't allow him to have it by virtue of being silent. It's time for we the people to continue to stand. I commend all of the people who have been marching and protesting. This is the way that this country was founded. It's as old as the Pilgrims landing at Plymouth Rock, as a contemporary as the farmers coming to Washington, D.C. on their tractors complaining about what was happening to their land. And this is needed as when Dr. King stood on the Mall and gave his I Have a Dream speech. We have to engage in peaceful protest. Litigation is fine. Protestation is also a part of the methodology by which we will bring justice back to America.
Let's go back to Tuesday's hearing. This is the New Jersey Democratic Congress member, LaMonica McIver.
You are here, Mr. Lyons, because white people are getting shot in the face and chest when the cameras are rolling. Because now my Republican colleagues care about optics. But when Keith Porter Jr., a black American citizen, a son, a father, and a man loved by many, was killed by an off-duty ICE agent on New Year's Eve, there were no hearings. So this is for him today. In my district, Jean Wilson Brutus, a Haitian immigrant, a beloved family man, died within 24 hours of being in ICE custody. He is just one of more than 30 people who have died in ICE custody last year. This is for all of them. Every human being your rogue, out-of-control agency has hurt, hunted down, imprisoned, killed, and continue to hold hostage even after they have agreed to be deported. We know this administration doesn't care about protecting people or sparing lives. We all see so plainly what you are doing, what you have been doing to black and brown folks, immigrants, people silenced in the shadows, now in broad daylight to people peacefully rejecting your cruel agenda in the streets, which is their right to do.
So that is Congressmember McIver, LaMonica McIver, who's been brought up on charges by the Trump administration after going to Delaney Hall in Newark, New Jersey, to investigate what's happening, to detain people there, and trying to protect the mayor there, who was doing the same thing, Mayor Ross Baraka of Newark. I want to go back to Congressmember Delia Ramirez before I ask Al Green about Black History Month and ask you, the leaders of the House and the Senate, Democratic leaders, Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, seem to be backing off a demand that these agents should not be masked. Jeffries said, certainly I think there's agreement no mask should be deployed in an arbitrary and capricious fashion. Are you demanding that they never wear masks?
I think that the American people have demanded that no mask means no masks. I don't care if it's partial mask or if it's a particular situation. No other law enforcement is using masks. Those of us that are in public service that every single day are standing up for the American people, we're not wearing a mask. We also understand that it poses a threat to do the job we do. I've seen the calls that have come into my office since yesterday. The point is, when we say no mask, we mean no masks. You have directors under oath yesterday, Amy, who lied under oath repeatedly and then talked about that we haven't even seen fully what they're capable of. It has to stop. You don't end the paramilitary police when you allow them to cover their face, to harm people, and then go to church with that person or maybe a family next door neighbor the next day as if they're holier than holy themselves. So I think the point is, when we say no masks, we mean no masks. And I really hope that our leadership is in a position to strongly word this and mean it. We have to get those masks off immediately.
I want to thank you, Congressmember Delia Ramirez of Illinois, the first Latina Congress member representing that state, the daughter of Guatemalan immigrants. This is Democracy Now! Congressman Al Green, I also want to ask you about your ongoing efforts to impeach President Trump. This is part of what you said Saturday, after President Trump refused to apologize for posting a racist video depicting President and Michelle Obama as apes.
Mr. President, this is one more reason why
when I go back to Congress, I'm going to bring another set of articles of impeachment against you for your racist attitude that you exhibit against people of color in this country.
This all comes in the middle of the 100th anniversary of Black History Month. The Trump administration has made systematic efforts to erase Black history since President Trump's executive order last March titled Restoring Truth and Sanity to American History. Across the country, several public markers and monuments highlighting the lives of enslaved people or honoring the memory of Black Americans killed in racist attacks are being changed, with any references the Trump administration considers disparaging to American history being removed. In Philadelphia, the National Park Service has dismantled a slavery exhibit that highlighted President George Washington's treatment of his enslaved workers. At Medgar and Merle Evers' home, a national monument in Mississippi, references to Medgar Evers' killer as racist have been removed. The Trump administration's also returned Confederate names to U.S. military bases, restored Confederate statues, cut federal funding to the Whitney Plantation in Louisiana, which educates Americans about the history of slavery, and purged the names of thousands of non-white figures in American history from federal websites. Also has stopped giving free entrance to national parks on Martin Luther King's holiday and the federal holiday that is Juneteenth. Still with us is Congressmember Al Green. If you can respond to all of this, but start with President Trump's refusal to apologize for posting this image of the Obamas as apes. I think they kept up the post for about 12 hours, but then when asked to apologize, even after taking it down, he refused.
The president is incapable of apologizing. This is why I would just have him tell the truth, that what he did was racist and what he did demeans people of color. But it's not the first time that he's done this. The president, if you recall, with the people who are of the Nation of Islam or people who are from of places where there are Islamic countries. He decided that he wouldn't allow them into the country. The president has said that people from South Africa are experiencing genocide and Anglos can come in, but the South Africans who are of African ancestry cannot. In Texas, there is a movement afoot to call slavery involuntary relocation. What you said is all eminently a part of the reason why we must have articles of impeachment against this president for infusing racism into policy. And that's what he's doing. You might recall some time ago when he was talking about African countries, he called them S-hole countries. And we are now trying as best as we can to prevent people of color from coming into the country. We have to allow him to be himself so that we can then identify him. I'm not gonna stop him from being himself. I wanna get him out of office. You can't stop him from being himself because he is out of control. He has a histrionic personality disorder. He has to be the center of attention to the extent that even if it hurts someone else, he must be the center of attention. He goes to extreme measure to eliminate DEI, a plane and a helicopter crash before there was any scintilla of an investigation. The president concluded that it was DEI that caused it. Well, that was a shot at Black people, people of color. DEI is no longer allowed as a means of simply having people in the room so that they may be examined for purposes of possibly getting a job. It doesn't guarantee a person a job. All it does is say you can have a person of a different hue in the room and give that person some consideration. This president is doing all that he can to condition us to accept racism, to accept bigotry. There was a young man who was associated with Doge who said some horrible things about Jewish people. He's an anti-Semite. He left the job and the vice president insisted that he be brought back. The president then confirmed that what the vice president did was appropriate. We can't allow this to continue. Yes, I'm going to bring articles of impeachment against him for infusing his hate into policy. I believe that it's appropriate to do. I hope that my colleagues will support it. But if they do not, I know that posterity is going to remember those of us who took a stand, And sometimes it's better to stand alone than not stand at all.
I want to ask you two questions in a minute about shutting down the airspace in your state, in the city of El Paso, something we haven't seen since 9/11. But first, I want to ask you about a resolution condemning Trump ordering an unprecedented mid-cycle, what you call racist redistricting of Texas, which, by the way, has been upheld by the Supreme Court. You say that you've become a major target of Republican redistricting efforts following intense pressure from both Trump and your governor, Greg Abbott. Can you explain what's happened to your district, Congressman Green?
Yes, my district was redrawn in an area east of it into another county, into Liberty County. Then the 18th Congressional District, as we've known it, and the 9th Congressional District were combined. About two-thirds of that district now, this new 18th, consists of people from the 9th Congressional District, about one-third from the 18th Congressional District, as we knew it when it was the preeminent district in the area. Now we find ourselves having to run against each other to somehow conclude that one of us should not be in Congress. Well, I think that both people should be in Congress because, quite frankly, there should be an 18th congressional district and there should be a 9th congressional district. But it's the president who sent orders to the governor, telling the governor, governor, get rid of five districts, make sure that Al Green's district was one of them. And when they did that, they eliminated the 9th congressional district so that it's not favorable for a Democrat to win. It favors a Republican, but I believe that a good Democrat can put up a good fight. I would say this to you. This is the acid test. What's happening to me, pardon me for having to bring myself into it, but it's the acid test. They're going to do everything that they can to get me out of Congress because I'm the guy who has brought the articles of impeachment that laid the foundation for his impeachment. I'm the guy who continues to be a part of the avant-garde movement to say that he has done things before others say it. And that then makes me a target as well, because they see me as a person who takes this action without having to have permission. I'm a liberated, unbought, unbossed, unafraid Democrat. I'll speak truth to power and truth about power. About power means you say to a power, power, there's a problem and you're it. I'm going to do that. But I want to say one more thing to you before we exit. This election is also about the decimation of the seniority system. There's an effort afoot in Congress to eliminate seniority. It was seniority that got Maxine Waters, the chairperson of financial services, that got Benny Thompson, the chairperson of Homeland Security. If we eliminate seniority in Congress, money will rule. And when money rules, we lose. We will lose. We cannot compete with people who have billions of dollars and don't mind spending a few million, perhaps 100 or more, on a given campaign election. We must maintain seniority. If we don't, we're going to find ourselves with persons who are going to have positions, but they won't have the power because they didn't come up through the ranks.
Finally, Congressman Green, this is an area that's actually far from you in the greater Houston area. But the FAA has halted all flights to and from El Paso International Airport for 10 days, citing, quote, special security reasons. Again, we haven't seen anything like this since 9/11. Do you understand what's happening?
I can't conceive of anybody understanding what's happened, given what has been said. There has not been a serious indication as to why this is being done, and this is a very serious thing to do. There must be something that can be said to the public. Transparency is a necessity. Where you have few facts, you're going to have a lot of speculation, and people are starting to speculate now as to what's going on. This level of speculation is unmerited, and the public needs to know more. I believe in transparency. This government under Trump does not. And I think that we've got to do what we can to continue to pressure and press for some knowledge of what's going on. The people who live in the area have to have a lot of consternation. This is something that could impact them. If there's something, some threat out there that may impact them, they have a right to know. I want to know what the threats are that are going to possibly impact me. I live under threats all the time. And I'm pleased to tell you that when I get them, I send them to the police and they investigate them. But if you don't know about the threats, How can you protect yourself? And I can't depend on the Trump administration to protect me. The people of El Paso are not going to depend on them. They will want to be able to protect themselves. And you cannot protect yourself unless you know what the threat is. There's no way for them to do what they're doing without there being something more that they're not telling the public. Few facts, much speculation.
CNN is reporting that a source briefed by the FAA said the El Paso flight ban is driven by military operations from Biggs Army Airfield at Fort Bliss. The FAA acting after the Pentagon could not assure civilian flight safety. Congressman Green.
Well, if they can't assure civilian flight safety, then they ought to give us some reason why they can't do this, given that we've had hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of flights, probably even hundreds or maybe even millions of flights flying out of that area over the years. So if you can't assure the safety, give us a reason why. Don't just do this arbitrarily and capriciously and expect the public to go away. No, that's the way a dictatorship behaves. In a dictatorship, you get little knowledge of why things are being done, but you're expected to go along with whatever is being done. This is why I say we're in a de facto dictatorship, where they do things without transparency and where they do things that are harmful to people, killing people, and they do it with impunity unless we, the people, take a stand.
I want to thank you for being with us. Of course, El Paso Juarez area is a major commerce hub. Congressmember Al Green, Texas Democrat. This is Democracy Now! We come back. We talk to the head of the Union of Concerned Scientists about the Trump administration's moves to gut U.S. climate regulations. Back in 20 seconds.
If you take a step towards freedom, freedom will take two steps towards you. Land and freedom, steel and faith, tooth and bone and wire, and skin, scar, dirt and fire. Woo, woo, woo! Mic check. Woo, woo, woo! It doesn't matter who you are. It does not matter what you say.
Tom Morello at Democracy Now!'s 20th anniversary in 2016. It's now 10 years later, and on February 23rd, Monday night at 7, Democracy Now! Will be celebrating our 30th anniversary. Guests including Angela Davis, Naomi Klein, the Nobel Prize-winning Maria Ressa, Michael Stipe, jazz legend Wynton Marsalis, and more. To get tickets, to get more information, go to democracynow.org. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. We turn now to the Trump administration's sweeping rollback of climate change policy. On Thursday, the Environmental Protection Agency plans to overturn its own conclusion that greenhouse gases endanger public health and cause global warming. Known as the endangerment finding, the Obama-era rules from 2009 required the federal government to regulate the emissions of six gases, including carbon monoxide and methane, which are released from the burning of oil, gas, and coal. The Trump administration's reversal of this decision would undo the legal basis of the fight against global warming and remove emission standards for cars and trucks and reporting obligations for power plants and industries. The EPA's draft version of the new rule says the endangerment finding overstated the risk of heat waves and underplayed the benefits of increased carbon pollution. In a post on X on Tuesday, the EPA Secretary Lee Zeldin wrote, quote, "This week, we make history, getting ready to join President Trump to announce the single largest act of deregulation in the history of the USA," unquote. For more, we go to Washington, D.C., where we're joined by Gretchen Goldman, president and CEO of the Union of Concerned Scientists, also an environmental engineer, formerly worked on environmental policy in the Biden White House and at the Department of Transportation. Gretchen, thanks so much for being with us. Talk about the significance of what's happening now.
It's quite significant, and it was quite devastating to see, even though we expected that this was coming. The impacts of this action will be vast, both in terms of our immediate ability to protect people from the harms of climate change, economic harms, health harms, and also in terms of our ability to meet U.S. climate goals, to meet global climate goals. And this is all happening with time that we don't have. We know we need to swiftly and dramatically reduce heat-trapping gas emissions now, as year after year we see devastating harm from climate-driven extreme weather events. And this is now something we really need to take action on. And so it's quite devastating to see this week.
The Trump administration initially attempted to undermine the science behind the endangerment finding. And again, for people to understand, explain exactly what that is and what that report was based at the Department of Energy.
As part of their broader attacks on climate science and climate action, the Trump administration secretly convened a group of climate contrarians under the Department of Energy to produce a report that reiterated many of the long debunked climate denial talking points. And tried to pass it off as a science-based report. We won in court, the Union of Concerned Scientists and the Environmental Defense Fund together. We won, and the administration disbanded that group of climate contrarians and have had to turn over more than 100,000 pages of documents related to that. We're seeing that they are being slowed down by these efforts and our ability to push back.
Can you talk about President Trump's personal connections to fossil fuel executives and how exactly that is affecting what is expected to be announced on Thursday? Again, what many are calling the single, including Zeldin, the single biggest attack in U.S. history on federal authority to climate to tackle the climate crisis. He calls it the single largest deregulation act in U.S. history.
This is their holy grail. They've been focused on this for a long time because the reality of climate change and its impacts are very inconvenient if you're someone who wants to give handouts to the fossil fuel industry and wants to ensure that these industries can continue polluting communities across the country. And so we're seeing them really take steps to give handouts to connections to the fossil fuel industry and others, and that's harming communities, especially Black and brown communities, where we know already face disproportionate impacts and harms from toxic air pollution.
This comes a month after President Trump pulled the U.S. out of the UNFCCC, right? The United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. Talk about the significance of these two acts together.
We're really seeing the abdication of U.S. leadership on climate, and that has huge implications both for our immediate ability to reduce heat-trapping emissions globally, as we know is desperately needed, but also in terms of our standing and contribution in the world. The U.S. has long exhibited climate leadership in terms of innovation, in terms of reduction in emissions, and in terms of providing that urgency around what we need to do to take action on climate change. And this, unfortunately, is going to set us back a long time in terms of that diplomacy, those international relationships, and the U.S.'s ability to help lead the world in taking action on climate change.
Carolyn Leavitt, the White House press spokesperson, emphasized auto standards being an area where regulation will be rolled back. You used to work, Gretchen Goldman, at the Department of Transportation. Can you talk about emission standards and what's been achieved by these standards and the incredible effect of a rollback?
I was at the Department of Transportation working on climate and transportation issues, and so this is very devastating to me personally as well. Under the previous administration, we issued the strongest standards to reduce dependence of cars and trucks on fossil fuel. And this was saving people money at the pump. It was helping us with climate emissions reductions. And it was reducing toxic air pollution in communities. It was one of the strongest climate actions that this nation has taken. But now, tomorrow, it's expected to be announced that they're repealing those standards. And that's going to set us back. It's going to cost consumers more money, and it's really going to stifle innovation and our ability to meet the moment and reduce climate emissions everywhere.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us, Gretchen Goldman, President and CEO of the Union of Concerned Scientists, speaking to us from Washington, D.C. A very happy birthday to Messiah Rhodes. On Monday, February 23rd, once again, Democracy Now! Will be celebrating our 30th anniversary at the historic Riverside Church here in New York City. Guests will include Angela Davis and Naomi Klein, Maria Ressa, the journalist who won the Nobel Peace Prize, Michael Stipe, the singer, the songwriter, the activist, the jazz legend Wynton Marsalis, the Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Mossab Abu-Toha, the renowned playwright Hooray for the Riff Raff, and so many more. Go to democracynow.org for details and to get tickets. The seats are filling up fast. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman. It's great to be back in cold New York. Thanks so much for joining us.
You could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz.